loud music.
Wow.
Loud music. Yeah, cats. Loud music. It's a formula, people. Yeah. Jeremy, you doing it live? Sure, F it.
Yeah, man. F it. I'll do it live. Yeah. This is the Freedom Fiend, broadcasting from Podbay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios. We alter your locus aurelius by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. This warms your brain to a tasty and toasty 420 degrees Kelvin to keep a sinful of statism out of your head. Can you feel it? Is it working? Can you feel it, Michael? I'll take that as a yes. As always, the Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org.
Wow. Yeah.
Wow. So this is the Freedom Fiends.
I totally feel it, man.
I am Jeremy Eisen. N-word, I think. That'll be me tonight.
Eisen
sure.
Kitten. I like Eisen Kitten.
That's yeah, I actually put that one in for myself the other couple of weeks ago when I did an edit. That one did kind of grow on me. But anyway, I am Jeremy. I'm here with Michael W. Dean.
Yeah.
How are you,
sir? You know, whenever someone tries to scam me, my immediate response in my mind is, doesn't anyone work for a living anymore? But, you know, I got this, someone posted on the BIPCOIN site, our cryptocurrencies website, today, claiming to be the head of Poloniex Exchange, which is like pretty much the top exchange for cryptocurrencies. Like, it's the one you want to be on. And, you know, I hear they actually put people on, like, charge, like, between, like, 6 and 10 Bitcoin to put people on there.
Wow.
I've heard that. I don't know if it's true. I think it depends. I think if you're nobody, they probably charge you. I mean, I'm not going to say them. I'm going to say there are exchanges that will put a coin on if you pay them some Bitcoin. It's usually less than 10. But, so I got a comment tonight from someone claiming to be Tristan at Poloniex and offering to list and said, we really like your site. I'm reading it. The coin looks interesting. Allegedly. Is that you?
Yeah.
That's nice. Nice. That blew my mind. It was my voice coming back. Yeah. Yeah.
We'll sorry, I didn't mean to throw you off.
No, that was funny. I liked it. That's a good throwing me off. Yeah, so they wanted
claiming to be the
yeah, they wanted to put us on this exchange for one Bitcoin.
Wow, just one. That's a steal.
Yeah. Yep.
Allegedly.
Yeah, and then I was like, wait a minute. So it was weird though, because I've contacted that guy before, because a friend of mine, Christopher Franco from Franco Coin, his coin, Franco Coin, and his new coin, Expanse, are on Poloniex. One of them is, at least. And he gave me an introduction and gave me that guy's email, and I contacted that guy, and he never got back. And I was like, oh, wait, is this him getting back to me a month later? And I'm like, wait a minute, this doesn't look like he's ever gotten an email from me. And
allegedly.
Yeah, and the funny thing is about that site and why this scam would work. Basically, it's not Poloniex. It's someone claiming to be trying to get me to send them a Bitcoin. The dead giveaway, other than that Poloniex's emails, the address I had ended in Poloniex.com.
Oh, it's a Gmail account.
The other was they misspelled Poloniex.
That's well, you know, maybe they're new to this. Maybe they're new to the scam game. Maybe they got to work out their kinks.
I'll bet they're getting some from a couple people.
Oh, I'm sure they are, but they're still, you know, with that kind of easy mistake is usually somebody new at the game.
I mean, what I would have put would have been like Poloniex spelled correctly, you know, like President Tristan or at gmail.com or something. Not that I scam, but, you know, that would have been like, would have taken me a little bit more, like, you know, to figure out. But it's funny, somebody responded. I posted this on Bitcoin Talk as a warning, you know, like, hey, look out for this, you know, other altcoin developers. But somebody commented on there, I'll get you on Mt. Gox for one Bitcoin. Mt. Gox went out of business 4 years ago. It was the biggest Bitcoin exchange, but
yeah.
Yeah, and was like not absolutely not a scam at AOL.com, I think was the deal.
Yeah, but that's the, I think that's, well, it's good business practices, in my opinion, to make warnings like that for people. Because, I mean, I deal with stuff like that in my business. Like, there's actually people that go around trying to scam pet sitters. It's this crazy thing. We still haven't figured out exactly what their complete end game is.
I'll be back in a sec. Go ahead and
sure.
Go sound check.
Yeah, but so I've gotten these emails. I usually get them every couple of months, and a bunch of other pet sitters I've talked to have also gotten them. And there's actually messages up in chat forums that on different websites that we belong to, you know, to network and stuff like that. And they're all like almost like these like Nigerian, you know, prince letter scams, but except for pets. It's like, hey, I saw your name on such and such a site, and you seem wonderful. And basically, it's letting you know that they're like extremely rich and they have this dog that's like the love of their life, and they're willing to pay any amount of money. They're going to give you these thousands and thousands of dollars, and all you have to do is give them your exact location. Like, you have to give them your exact street address, even though they're claiming they want you to come to their place, but they need to know exactly where you live, so exactly how long it'll take for you to get from their from your place to their place. It's like all this crazy stuff,
and then they
like,
rob you while you're gone, right?
Well, either that, or I think that they're just like looking for extra information to be able to, you know, get your get like your bank accounts and stuff like that. Cause if, you know, if you're willing to give up some of this information, maybe you're willing to give up more. And
I don't think they don't want to break into your house where all the pit bulls live.
Yeah. You wouldn't think so. Yeah. I see. It's amazing. I've never had that problem in all the years, no security system, and nobody's ever tried to break into my house. But yeah. So I mean,
word
like I said,
word spreads that people have pit bulls too.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And well, my neighborhood, it was easy. Well, people didn't even know how many dogs I had or which ones were mine, because I used to just walk around the neighborhood with the dogs that I was watching. And when I first started out, I had no limitations for the most part, because it was long before I had kids. So I was taking in 6, 7, 8 dogs at a time, and we would all go for a walk together. And, you know, pit bulls, Great Danes, Rottweilers, toy poodles, Chihuahuas, like all walking nice. Together, like strolling down the street. And people just like looked at me funny. Whatever.
You know, there are so many scams in Bitcoin and in cryptocurrencies. BitcoinTalk.org is the only forum I've ever been on where like every third page that you load, you know, they have different like ads that come up, little banners mm-hmm. on each page. It's sure. a really old school looking site. It's running on, what is it? Simple Machines Forum, which is like a forum software that came out in like 94, 96.
Probably. Yeah. It looks exactly like the VW, the Volkswagen forums that I used to hang out in when I had my little toy 90s, Volkswagen yeah. car. Well, yeah, well, no, in like the early 2000s, but you could tell it was built yeah. back then. It looks exactly like that. The same type of forum.
Yeah, but it works. Everything exactly. works. And the thing is, too, that the founders of this website are literally all Bitcoin millionaires. So they're just like, why bother? You know,
yeah.
I don't have to impress people. And this is like the site. Like there are posts. There are like 50 or 60 posts from Satoshi Nakamoto on this site. I mean, wow. That's how like early they got into Bitcoin. And they're real. They're legit. They are Satoshi posting before he went dark. And one of his posts is telling the guy who runs BitShares, Steam, that he's an idiot. Before he was running Steam. It's funny.
That's yeah. funny. See, I didn't know that about the Satoshi email, the Satoshi post on there. But I even before I finally got into cryptocurrency, I had actually heard of it. So yeah, it must have been
of
big enough.
That, yeah,
yeah. If I had known about it without knowing Jack about Bitcoin, then obviously yeah. it has to be kind of big.
It's the main site, but it's the only site I've ever been on where like every third or fourth time you load a page, instead of having an ad banner, there's a banner that says caution. Our advertisers may be, their products or services may be illegal in your jurisdiction, or maybe a scam. Like, and people still advertise on here.
Take like, your chances.
Yeah, like that is amazing, like forthcomingness.
Yeah, transparency.
Yeah, transparency. And it's also like proof that people really want to advertise on this site, that they'll advertise on this site, considering that like before and after their banner shows up, there may be a banner that says, things on here are a scam.
Wow. Oh, man. Yeah. Yeah. No, that's...
Yeah.
Well, like I said,
yep.
good business, man.
Yeah, so we have a lot to talk about tonight. This show is going to be a music show. And we're largely going to talk about two bands, The Germs and 9353.
Yes.
The Germs were a seminal, meaning filled with semen, no, meaning an early, meaning one of the seeds of punk rock. They planted the seeds of punk rock. And their singer killed himself, so they got that cred going for him. The guitar player later played in Nirvana, Pat Schmier. They all had names like that. Pat Schmier later played in Nirvana. Never played on records, but played live. You know, the tours right before Kurt killed himself. Basically, Kurt was rich enough at that point that he could just hire anybody. So he hired his childhood hero to stand next to him and play guitar. And then that guy now plays in, what's Dave Grohl's band?
The Foo Fighters.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but there's a movie that you saw that's a really good biopic about them.
Yeah.
Is it called What We Do Is Secret?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't really have any connection to the Germs except that I know and have hung out with and got drunk with Don Bowles, the drummer, who is now a DJ in LA. He DJs at clubs and he has done a lot of, these people all done a lot of drugs. And if you look at the pictures of Don Bowles, like Google Don Bowles Germs and find recent pictures of the guys, he looks like Frankenstein. He's so toe up from drugs. I mean, he's really skinny and still dresses like he's 18, wears like, you know, fishnet t-shirts and stuff, but he looks like a corpse. I mean, he looks like, you know, in the movie Hubert Selby Jr., It'll Be Better Tomorrow, when there's actually near the end footage of Hubert Selby Jr. with his shirt off, like taking his laundry to the laundromat in his building. Yeah. And he looks like Mr. Burns. I mean, that's what Don Bowles probably looks like with his shirt off. And he wears like mesh shirts. So you can see what he looks like, but his face is so wizened. Yeah. He's probably 60, but he looks like 80 and he's still rocking out. He still plays drums sometimes, but,
yeah. he does look a little weathered.
Yeah. little road hard and put away wet every day for the last 60 years. But
oh wait a minute, is this one of, I just found one, is this one and him in like the drag that, because I guess he really did that, his joke band that they talked about in that biopic.
I don't know. This is the internet. I can't see what you're looking at.
Oh no, I'm just in the movie. They talked about the biopic. They said that he had his joke band that where he dressed up like a skirt and everything.
I've seen him in kind of draggy clothes. And he does wear like makeup, but it's more like horror makeup.
Yeah, that's a picture I just stumbled across.
Yeah,
worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends radio show. I've run websites since 1996 and have used over a dozen web hosts in that time. AgoristHosting.com is the only one that hasn't broken my heart. Agorist Hosting's uptime and service is stellar, and their DDoS mitigation is the best I've seen. That's important because if you tell the truth in this world, you'll ruffle feathers. No matter what the haters hit us with, Agorist Hosting keeps our websites online. If you have a mission-critical commercial presence or a world-changing activism site, go with AgoristHosting.com.
Never do it ever.
So the other band we want to talk about is 9353. Band I have a little more connection to, not a whole lot, just that I used to go see them a lot in DC in the early 80s. I booked their only out of town gig ever that I know of. They were huge in DC and too much of junkies. Of a bunch of junkies, at least two or three of them were junkies. Oh, three of them. Everyone except the drummer who replaced the drum machine. So at one point, they were all junkies. Then they got some kid who looked like a virgin. They looked like they were from four different bands. You got that from the picture, right?
Oh, that was, like, yeah, the one picture where they...
like, yeah. Looks like a goth dude, a metal dude, another like kind of like more cleaned up goth dude, and then like... you know, the guy who looks like, I don't know, the guy who tried to bang your sister but not get anywhere. Not your sister, but just someone in general. Because the guy who tried to bang your sister was, wait, not Sheldon Cooper. That's your sister's brother. Wait, so are you brothers by transitive properties with Sheldon Cooper? For people who don't know, Jeremy's sister's an actor and played Sheldon Cooper's sister on The Big Bang Theory, that show. So
yes.
All right, so 9353. Let's see, what else is my connection to them? I booked their only out-of-town show, and also their singer hates me because of an argument we got in on MySpace. So that you didn't know how long ago that was. MySpace, for people who don't know, is a social network that existed. That had its heyday from, like, I don't know. Do you even know? Were you on it?
Yeah, I was on MySpace. I actually waited a long time to get on the face piece.
Happening.
Oh, gosh. I mean, late 90s? Yeah, early 2000s. Yes.
Basically, then Facebook came around, and MySpace, I won't say it no longer exists, but Nima Vedati put it very well, is that, you know, we'll probably never completely eliminate government, but his goal is to have the government be like Facebook, in that there are 300 million users signed up, but they haven't logged in 7 or 8 years.
Yeah, it's something like that. Yeah, I think, well, towards the end, it became, I think, only like bands were still using it.
Yeah.
And I think some still do.
They do.
But yeah, it still exists, but nobody ever, I mean, I can't remember the last time I logged into my account. I think the last time I tried, I couldn't get it, and I was just like, okay, whatever. And that was years ago as it was.
Yeah. I tried to log in about a year ago, and finally, like, you know, I didn't know my login anymore, and I used it and, like, didn't even have the same email. And I'm like, I'm curious if this works. So I, like, you know, it was an email address on a domain I owned, but I hadn't used in years. So I had to, like, go recreate that email address so I could request the password reset. And I logged in. Yeah. And I got in, and it's like, first of all, I had like two messages in like 7 years, like, you know, two people who were still on there. Like, one was spam and one was somebody I don't want to talk to trying to get a hold of me. And like, the site was incredibly slow. It was funny too, because didn't they sell it to Fox?
Possibly. I honestly don't remember.
Yeah. At one point. And then, like, you know, they were like, we're going to own this, and it's up and coming, and we're going to corner the market. And then Facebook happened, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah. You know, here's something about intellectual property and how horrible it is. If someone actually could have patented the idea on Facebook, and someone sort of tried to, like, there are two guys who are billionaires because they, like, hired the guy who made Facebook to make something like that, something different. And then he was like, forget that, and went on and made Facebook. But, you know, it contributed like a tiny bit to the idea. And they sued him for, I don't know, $800 million or something, and then invested it in Bitcoin. And now they're billionaires. They're identical twins, the Winklevoss brothers.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
the Winklevi, as they call them in the movie.
The Winklevi.
Yeah, it's funny. So, the guy who plays the guy who started Facebook in that movie looks like an older, who's not sexy at all, and is like playing a virgin nerd. That guy looks like a sexier, taller, thinner version of the drummer in 9353 that replaced the drum machine, Dan Joseph. And it's funny because Dan Joseph, like, there are still stuff up on the internet of him claiming to have been the genius behind 9353, which is really ironic because he was replacing a drum machine and sounded exactly like it live. And they put out a cassette with all their songs before he joined the band. So,
yeah.
Hello, come in. I didn't see you there.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum. Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms.
Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Antiwar, pro-free market. That's Antiwar.com.
I was just gonna say, I'm pushing 40. I may need 4, maybe 5 steps at this point. Slow down a little bit. But.
3 steps, but it's just, yeah, you should make it.
Yeah, exactly.
Give me a minute to get 3 steps. Yeah, so speaking of getting old and good music and being eclectic, like liking the Germs and liking Leonard Skinner. Mm-hmm. I discovered something really cool recently. It's an internet radio station, you know, streaming music station with good audio, on a site for Randy's Rodeo, which is a bar, a cowboy bar in San Antonio, Texas.
Okay.
And it's the place that's best known for, and it probably wouldn't still exist if the Sex Pistols hadn't played there in 1970 something. Do you know about that? The Sex Pistols US tour? They only played the South. And then they played San Francisco and then broke up. And then Sid died a few days later. And I actually had a friend who was an acid dealer who said someone brought, I don't know this guy anymore, any law enforcement listening. And they're already very aware of this guy and have tried to arrest him and couldn't. So, and he doesn't deal anymore. So there was an acid dealer, like, you know, large quantities of acid dealing, like, you know, like supplies the Grateful Dead's roadies, that kind of guy, probably, allegedly. Who said that Sid and Nancy came over to his house after that show at the Winterland. Mm-hmm. And he said that Sid smelled like he hadn't changed his pants in a year and had crapped his pants. So, you know, G.G. Allen's friend having done that is a precedent, I guess, that was set by, Sid Vicious, mm-hmm. the god of punk rock, people probably take Mecca pilgrimages to his grave or definitely probably try to rent the room he died in at the Chelsea Hotel.
Yes. But wouldn't be surprised.
So, you know, people are like, ew, this show's gross. The other night you were talking about not being able to poo. Hey, it can get worse, people.
It can always
I can talk about worse. People who do poo and do it freely without bothering to get up.
Whoa.
Yeah. Like Sid Vicious. Sid Vicious. Yeah. So, Their manager, Malcolm McLaren, who, in order to generate as much controversy as possible, booked them in, like, San Antonio, Dallas, Memphis, not even Atlanta. Like, Atlanta was too hip for anywhere they played.
All places that would not really appreciate their music.
Yeah, and they, like, played cowboy bars to, like, 800 people. Or this show, there were 2,000, 2,500 people. And, you know, like came out on stage and said, cowboys are all faggots. And then started playing.
Whoa.
Yeah. And my wife, there's many reasons I love my wife. And this is a reason that I found out about a year after we were married. She was at that show.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Go DJ.
Yep. And yeah, she lived in San Antonio at the time. I've like talked with her dad about it that, you know, I'm trying to prove my wife didn't lie.
You verified. I
mean, like, yeah.
Oh, that's a great story, honey. Sure. I believe you. Wow.
Oh, she went to see that horrible show. I remember seeing that on the news. She was on the news and like they interviewed some. She was like the fourth person in line to get into that show, too.
Wow.
You know who else was at that show is Steve Earle. And he said it changed his life and made him pick up an electric guitar.
Really?
Steve Earle is?
Yeah, I know who Steve Earle is.
Great musician. So, speaking of, like, if you like very eclectic music, go to randysrodeo.com and click on the link at the bottom that says Randy's Radio.
Mm-hmm.
It's a, like, rotating streaming link of, like, people who've played there. So you'll have, like, the Sex Pistols followed by Hank Williams. And they've had other punk bands play there since then because they kind of became known for that. But other people who were at that show said there were 2,500 people there and about 2,000 of them were there to do harm to the band
beforehand, like premeditated harm.
Yeah, like they went there to kick their ass. Yeah, like people drove down from like Detroit to try to kick their ass.
I didn't realize that Sid had created such a stir here in the States. Yeah.
Sid was wearing a shirt. There was a Toms of Finland, that gay artist who does those like really graphic pencil drawings that, you know, they sell prints of in every store in San Francisco. Yes. Even the corner market. It was a picture of like two well hung isn't the word, like impossibly hung cowboys.
Caricatures of caricatures.
Yeah. Not even caricatures, like really well drawn, like photorealistic almost, pencil drawings. Whoa. Google Toms of Finland right now, people. Wait, don't Google Toms of Finland, people.
All right, I'll stop myself.
No, go ahead. You go ahead and respond. Oh, by the way, I got to interrupt. I got to send you something that's really funny. A spam that I got during the break on Facebook from a guy who's now been blocked, whose name is Muhammad Al-Bihama or something. I don't even know.
Sounds legit.
Who's in some other country. Oh, I think it is legit, but he sent me a really creepy friendship request. Do you have it there? Did you get the email?
Not yet. Hold on, my email's slowing down. Why is it not there? Yeah, there we go. So funny spam.
All right, read it out loud.
I have to open it.
He sent it to me as a as an instant message. It's someone I've never talked to before either. So go ahead.
It's okay. In all caps, mind you. This is to notify you that our friendship contract for 2016-2017 has been renewed. Send back if you accept? ?
Well, at least you know, he did rope me into a social contract, but at least allowed me to opt out.
This is true. You got to give him credit for that. I would think it's creepy though.
It seems like something you'd get from a girl who you'd end up sleeping with once when you were drunk, and then you know, for the night you'd have to move to a different city.
This is one of these things that it kind of looks like that gets passed around. It started off by like senior citizens and you know, younger kids.
At the old folks home, the one guy that can use Photoshop who's like 65, you know, everyone has him do their memes for him.
No, but I'm just saying they send these things out and they all think, you know, like grandmothers, and you know, they think it's cute to send this back and forth to like, you know, they'll send it to like their grandkids or something.
Well, chain mail, like chain letters before the internet?
I've heard of them before the internet. I only remember them as part of the email.
So chain letters, that's something you wear to protect yourself from swords in a medieval battle.
Chainmail good, chain letters bad.
Yes.
So I just want to clarify.
So chain letters were letters that people used to like type and write up by hand before photocopies, but they started getting really big when like photocopy machines started showing up at libraries and you could make a copy for 5 or 10 cents, which is how I used to make my punk rock fanzines, was at the library, you know. Panhandle enough to get enough to like print, you know, 20 copies of my one-sided zine and hand it out in front of punk shows in the 80s. Like, that's how long I've wanted to communicate with the world. And that's why I got on the internet in 1995, had it at home in 96, and had my first website in 96. On a domain I have that's still up, kittyfeet.com. But, so chain letters were like, they were generally like a Ponzi scheme, like money kind of thing. Like you'd get something that said, you know, please, there are 10 names and addresses at the bottom of this list. Please send $1 to each of these people and then remove the name from the top, put your name and address at the bottom and send it out to 10 people. And the idea is theoretically that the people at the top of the chain would make the most money. You know, these are illegal. They shouldn't be. They should be legal, but...
You know, they should be frowned. Well, I mean, I would frown upon them. At. Yeah,
they should be shamed.
They should. Right up there with the Nigerian, prince. Yeah, you know, scam.
Yeah,
all that stuff.
Oh, that was somebody commented. That was the thing on this Polian X scam attempt that we talked about at the beginning of the show. Somebody named King of Ancapistan commented on the, and it's somebody I know. He commented this on Facebook, and I told him to go put it on there, so he made an account. He said, "Hello, Bitcoin dev team. If you pay me one Bitcoin, I can get you on Mt. Gox. Please respond to Mt. Gox Clayton at AOL.com. AOL. But you must hurry. I am moonlighting as the Minister of Finance of Nigeria, and the rebels are closing in on the capital. I must find a generous person to help me secure the treasury's balance outside the country." Nice.
Nice.
So, like, chain letters actually influenced that kind of thing. And once the internet started and it was free to send an email to hundreds of thousands of people instead of, you know, cost 10 cents for the photocopy and whatever a stamp cost in 1995, 8 cents, 15. 12 cents. Yeah. You know, people, they became very popular. And then all email companies and web companies like figured out how to block them so the email never gets through. Occasionally you get one, but when I first got on the internet, there were a few of these, and they're actually still existing in the wild. Like occasionally
in the wild,
people will get one of these.
A snail mail version?
No. Oh. An email version that started in 1995.
Oh, okay. One of the originals. I gotcha.
And like, you got to think like, you know, there's somebody who got on the internet for the first time every day.
This is true.
So they get this and they forward it. And a lot of times they don't even involve money right now. Like one of them is the one that still exists sometimes in the wild. Is one that's like a cookie recipe thing. I don't remember the scam, but yeah, well, it might be a scam. I don't know. But those are still around, you know, and like I think the last time I got one was probably 5 years ago. And of course, they CC'd to everyone in their address book, you know. So then, like, then you have 20 people like responding, saying, "Take me off this list," and they're sending it to everybody.
Yeah, because most people don't understand the difference between reply and reply all.
Yeah, you shouldn't do that. If anything,
I was gonna say I have a problem with people who do that. People do the same thing when it comes to like text messages, like group text messages. And that's even more annoying. Like emails, I can ignore. Like I'll just block. Yeah. I'll block the person
for life. Like I did with Muhammad Al bin Muhammad.
Exactly, because usually I don't know the person to begin with. It's just somebody else on that person's contact list who I've never met, would never talk to, probably never talk to anyway. So
yeah,
I have no issue blocking.
I think this guy has like 5 or 6 mutual friends with me. I think he's a guy who's interested in liberty in some African country. Mm-hmm. You know, he'll probably go join the rebels and like violate the non-aggression principle daily and train child soldiers because I didn't respond to him.
Yeah,
that's racist.
You're his last hope.
And that's now, not racist. It's culturalist. It's imperialist.
Yes, you're a horrible human being. I feel bad about it.
So real quick, before we go to the break, the connection, the argument I got in, I'll save that for when we get back. I don't want to hurry it. Why the singer in 9353 hates me, but he's insane. And he basically admits it. Like that interview we saw with him, he says, like, you know, "I've been unemployable my whole life. Anything I have of any value, the few things, were the result of charitable getting."
Yeah.
Hashtag please donate to the Freedom Fiends.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
So in keeping with the fact that we had a meme recently that was a picture of me in grade school, middle school, from age 12, looking like one of the Partridge Family, because I liked the Partridge Family. The way my mother gave me wear a shirt would say, "Oh, I saw David Cassidy wearing this shirt." Basically, my parents lied to me to get me to dress the way they wanted. So, yeah.
Good strategy.
Yeah. And that's, you know, maybe that's why I dress like a slob and have my whole life. I was actually in style for like 2 years of my life because I basically dressed comfortable like a lumberjack, you know, or a skater my whole life. And then when Nirvana got big, for a minute, it was in
the grunge look.
Yeah. And then that's out. And I still dress like a slob. So, although I wear a lot of sweatpants now because it's more comfortable now that I've grown a bit as a human, as a man. I've grown as a man.
See, I guess I haven't reached that point yet because I still don't do the sweatpants.
You know,
well, no, I mean,
you know,
I've
looks,
pumped
you know,
up a bit.
Looks like you and reminds me of you in a good way. He's a good character. He's a character on that show called Shameless. You seen Shameless yet? It's great. The American one.
Yeah, I, you know what? I watched it the first couple of seasons, and then like I stopped having cable and Showtime, so I stopped watching it.
Watch it on Netflix.
Yeah, well now I finally have it. I finally have an account, so cool. I can do that.
Oh, one of good. These days. Then you and I can discuss, do a lot more reviews on the air.
Yes. So yeah.
We're gonna get around to this by about the music stuff. That's gonna be the rest of the show, pretty much.
Yes. But,
oh, and tomorrow we have a guest. It's let's see.
Matt Bergman.
Matt Bergman. Name? Yep. From Punk Rock Libertarians. Who's good guy. Who's been like kind of doing Feeny kind of stuff since before anybody else except the Fiends. Like, you know, back when we were starting to be internet libertarians, like everyone was like, and you know, here's a link to a recording of somebody reading a, you know, an ebook by some old dead economist.
White guy. Yeah.
Yeah. White. I'm not going to say that.
That's okay. I will.
I'm not going to diss him for being white. I'm
like 100%. I'm like 100% white, so I'm allowed to say that.
Yeah. Okay.
Kind of like you could say, you know.
Because I'm part black. All right. So.
Exactly.
I want to get this out of the way really quick. There's a guy who I'm no. So I'm banning someone in the air, over the air, is what I'm saying.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, since someone made a meme that I was banning people 30 years before Facebook in the 70s. There's a guy who, I forget his name. I'm not going to say his name. I don't even know his name. I forget it, but he's a guy who does a Twitter channel with like Twitter page account. He tweets
as a Twitter account. Yeah, I guess.
Yeah. As something, I forget what, but he's got like 50 followers, which is nothing. I mean, if you put up a cute picture of your cat, you'll have more followers than that. Who likes to diss different cryptocurrencies, and he's done a bunch on Bitcoin. And I will say, and he pointed out, I misremembered the meme that I thought that was funny. It was the, you know, Bitcoin. I said, you know, we're the cute cryptocurrency with kitties, and then it said Monero, we have heroin or something. But it was actually the first one said Bitcoin, we're the cute cryptocurrency with no development team, I think it was. And that was back before we stopped and came back and like pretty much had no development team, so it was funny. Mm-hmm. But you know, he likes to poke Bitcoin for no reason really. And there's a lot of things that are more, I mean, because really before he's like, you know, bashing us because transactions weren't working, which makes sense, but now they're working and he's still picking on us. But all I'm saying is like, I'm not going to approve his comments on the Freedom Fiend site because they'll get more views there than on his little Twitter. And he's a guy who likes the Fiends. That's the funny thing. And he says he likes the Fiends and he likes me, but you know, I'm not going to give him play. All right. So banned. Drop mic. All right.
You so, tell him, Michael.
Speaking of beefs, speaking of resentments,
there's more beef?
Yes. No, the guy from 9353.
Oh, that's right. He hates you.
Bruce Merkel. I wonder if he's related to the guy who created the Merkel tree, which is Bitcoin works.
Isn't that the German chancellor's name? Merkel? Angela Merkel?
Maybe.
Is he related to her, too?
Yeah.
Maybe. That evil woman? Yeah. I don't know.
No, we're going out. I didn't get my resentment out because I was talking about another resentment. Damn. Well, that's well, I interrupted my resentment with a resentment.
In classic my MWD fashion.
Yeah.
Interrupting yourself.
I know.
In the middle of interrupting yourself.
Okay, so I'll say real quick, this I can fit in. The other connection I have to 9353, the band from D.C. that was amazing, that was hugely popular in D.C., and then, like, no one ever heard them, and I booked their only show out of town in Charlottesville, Virginia. Their guitar player, Jason Carmer, engineered a bomb record, the reunion one that we did in the studio when I met Sammy from Fang.
Oh, yeah.
You, sir. I know Sammy from Fang. Yeah. And he's great. Jason's, like, very employed. He engineered the Third Eye Blind records and a bunch of other hit stuff. Some other hit stuff. He's a happening dude, and I like him. The singer hates me, and I'll tell you why after this trip to the market.
This is the Freedom Beans, Brooke. broadcasting through the Libertarian Reeducation Center's Lower Orbit High on Cannon, high atop Financial Views Plaza on the artificial satellite LibPair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT, no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org.
Yep. So, I was, before we went to the break, I said, I've got resentments to talk about, but I remembered more about the guy I'm blocking, of why, like, recently I said, okay, it's enough, this was cute, but now it's not. He's just saying stuff that's untrue. He said, and it's funny, because he'll probably listen to this episode, hear the thing before the break and go, well, F that guy, and not hear this part, but I hope he hears this part, because he said, tweeted something like, we're the Freedom Fiends, or I'm Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I don't know what ring signatures are, so I tell my listeners that that Bitcoin has built-in mixing. I know what ring signatures are. I've read the Cryptonote white paper. I've read a bunch more about Cryptonote. The reason I don't explain rigged signatures is because most of the radio audience wouldn't get it, wouldn't get ring signatures. Most of the radio audience has heard of Bitcoin, and that's it. And furthermore, Fluffy Pony, the head of Monero, or the head dev developer of Monero, Fluffy Pony, he was on our sister show on radio, Free Talk Live, for an hour and did not explain ring signatures. So, you know, you play to your audience. So, yes. And I'm not going to explain them now to prove I know them, because then he'll say, oh, you're just reading it somewhere. But no. Yeah. All right. Worms. All right. So, I want to talk about 9353. We're talking about bands, 9353 and the Germs, and we're really going to get to it. I promise this time. So, yeah. Hello?
You there? Yes, I'm here. I'm still here.
All right.
Yes.
Yeah. So, 9353, the singer, Bruce. I thought you cut out for a sec. I heard air, like deader than dead air. So,
oh, sorry.
Yeah.
So, yes, Bruce, he hates you.
I'm sorry for not constantly interrupting you, so you know, Michael. So, yes, constantly interrupt me, so I know you're always there.
That's right. I forgot.
I'm kidding. No, don't. It's just the Fiend phone is so quiet. Like, it seemed quieter than usual. Like, usually you can hear a little bit of ambiance of the room the person's in, but I didn't hear any for a sec. All right, so 9353, Bruce, the reason he hates me. So they were basically like doing memes before the internet in a really cool way that was really catchy and kind of blew people's minds. They made posters for their shows. He was a sort of an artist and did like, he's a painter, but he did collages. And, you know, like back then there were a lot of punk rock posters that were like stuff snipped out of magazines pasted together, mm-hmm. but not in this cool of a way. Like, I think what inspired it was the cover of the Sex Pistols record, first record. The name Sex Pistols is written out like a ransom note, like old style ransom note in letters cut out from different magazines.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what inspired it, of like, oh, this can be art. So, but he made stuff that was incredibly cool with collages and really dark and funny.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, the guy really influenced me in a lot of ways. Like the band, this is before my band Bomb, and it was before this show. And like, let's read real quick the names of their records from discography. Just go through them. To whom it may consume, and then go ahead.
Oh, I lost all of it. Yeah, so okay, to whom it may consume, we are absolutely sure there is no God.
Which is funny, because that's like the definition of an atheist. Like, no, we're not agnostics. Like, that's, I just found that funny.
Right. UFOs, sideswipe our reform school bus, and that's why we're home early, mum.
Yeah. And and he was like, the singer Bruce was, you know, in and out of like reform schools and the youth juvenile system as a kid for like graffiti and breaking bottles and things like that. So a lot of his stuff references that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Make your last days loud days.
Yes. Insult to injury. Magically delicious.
Ravens of Glenmore Drive. And my favorite, this the last one's really good. It's funny.
Born on Probation. The 1983 demos.
There's one that's not on here, which was my favorite one, which is called the record called Overdoses at Your Mother's House.
Oh, yeah, you had mentioned that one. Yeah, I don't know. It only lists eight. For some reason. Interesting.
Yeah. So
maybe that was like such a rare one that's.
No, it was rare. All their stuff was rare because no one ever, you know, they probably sold 1,000 copies in DC and that's it. Their music's on YouTube. Go search 9353.
Oh, yeah, I've had a bunch of it.
9353 band. Because there's other things that are 9353, but they're usually in Japanese for some reason. So 9353 band, and listen to their music. It's pretty amazing. We're going to play a little, but the band name, allegedly, the story was that it was the specimen number on a jar of a thing that he and his girlfriend stole from, like, the medical museum of the Navy or something in D.C., there is a medical museum there with oddities, and this was a baby, newborn baby probably that died at birth or maybe was killed by a doctor out of mercy. Who knows? But it was a baby that had one eye in the middle of its head, like his two eyes were fused together for one big eye. And then it had looked like a penis growing out of its forehead above the eye. It was really freaky. Might have been a tail. I don't know. But that was the story. And later he said, oh, I just made that up, but I actually have that thing in a jar. And they used a picture of it on one of their records. So that's creepy and weird.
Yeah.
The other thing is, the reason this guy was mad at me, and I've tried to start this 20 times and sideswiped my own reform school bus at this point. But so they made these incredible posters, and they didn't just stick them on lamp poles like the other 100 bands playing at the time in D.C. And you have to remember, this is like during the hardcore punk heyday, and they were not hardcore punk, and they were liked, which is weird because pretty much nothing was liked except hardcore punk. And they would hang these posters up in really bizarre, really blatant ways. Like, I remember one was they wheat pasted like 10 or 12 of them in the shape of a cross on the window of a store. I mean, they were committing like probably like what might be felonious vandalism.
Yeah, I was gonna say like vandalism and stuff. Wow.
And then I was like, I saw that from like a block away, and I'm like, what the heck? And then I saw it, I was like, man, nothing can top that. And then like the next show, there were two crosses on a different store, same size, like, you know, 15 feet high, a normal cross and an upside down cross made of their flyers. And they would also like climb up on poles like 25 feet and put them up there. So like you could only see them if you squinted, but you know, you could see them really well. So one of the reasons, and one of the reasons you could see them a long way was they had a short name. It's 9353 in numbers. You could see it from a block away on a poster. That's one of the reasons I called my band Bomb, because it was only four letters and you could see the numbers from the, you know, down
see
the street.
See the letters.
Yeah, see the letters. So when I was playing at Bomb, I basically, you know, a few years later in San Francisco, like started copying all of his techniques for flyering, and they were really effective. And like everybody who knew Bomb and liked the band was like, even if they didn't, they were like, oh, that band with the flyers everywhere. And we did the cross thing and the upside down cross thing and the, you know, climbing up on poles. I remember somebody took a picture and sent it to me in the mail. I think it might have been Little Mike, of one of our flyers like 15 years after we'd broken up, wheat pasted like 25 feet up a metal pole.
Wow, so that's impressive. That
cool. Yeah, but so I kind of copied that, and it was really successful. Also, we were really good. So if you're really good, that could be really successful. And I wrote about that in my book, $30 Music School, as you know, like how did, and that book was written when the internet wasn't that big, you know, when you didn't have Facebook and like barely had MySpace, I think, to promote bands. So people were still flyering. And I found him on Facebook one time, or on MySpace, and like said, hey, this is Michael Dean. I like your band. I used to see you in DC all the time. You know, I did a kind of respectful shout out to you, and I scanned that page of $30 Film School or Music School and sent it to him, and he got furious.
Like, really?
Most people would see that as like, wow, finally someone recognized our genius and wrote about it in a book. But he was like, you stole from me, was his answer.
Whoa.
Yeah. Yeah.
Super.
That's why he hates
with his his IP, huh?
The guy's nuts. Yeah. 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 It's funny too, like someone who like everything he did was criminal, you know, like pasting on a store that's open, like, you know, like really, like basically causing them to have to hire someone and spend, you know, $60 cleaning it off, probably at least. And scare away customers. The upside down cross probably, like, you know, thinks I'm being something resembling criminal or immoral by doing what he did and then praising him, you know, in a book.
Well, yes, because it was, you know,
that had like more copies sold by 10 times than the number of records he sold. So,
well, yeah, exactly. That's what I was going to say, because he probably has nothing else to fall back on. So people like that. That's what IP is like. That's why it's still around, because so many people have nothing else to cling to other than that one thing that
I started to say. Keep. Thank you for reminding me. I sidetracked myself and never got back to it when I was talking about the IP of, like, if someone had patented the idea of social networks and done it successfully, like, we'd all still be on MySpace. Can you imagine that would be? MySpace was
if they hadn't upgraded, well, no, I mean, and I've joked about it before, but I'm reminded of it often, because the website that we have for my other podcast still looks like a 12-year-old made it on MySpace back.
Oh, that was a problem with MySpace, you know, like. Some people say, like, oh, sites don't let me do what I want to do. It's not fair. First of all, it's free. You know, it's fair. Yeah. Second of all, like, the problem with MySpace was you could do anything on it. You could use any kind of HTML on it. So, like, every page had, like, 30 GIFs flashing and, like, you know, these, like, scripts that had, like, snow falling on the page that would crash things. It was a nightmare of bad
things. Yeah, exactly. That's why it took forever to load.
So let's play a little 9353 while we go out. Although,
yeah.
Yeah.
Are we going out already? Jeez. I'm a good driver. Don't worry, honey. It's okay. It's not loaded. I'm a good driver. Don't worry, honey. It's okay. It's not loaded.
Where's our music?
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Cell 411 is a free app for Android and iOS that replaces government-controlled 911. Cell 411 allows you to preset a group of friends or private organizations to show up in any emergency. Cell 411 is a nightmare for the state because it proves their so-called services aren't needed. Cell 411 has had thousands of installs, and of course it's covered by the BIPCOT No Government License. Cell 411 because your friends won't shoot you when you're in trouble. Without the government, who would build the emergency services? You and Cell 411. Get it today at GetCell411.com. That's GetCell411.com.
Yeah. What I say is my favorite lesson for every song is a ghost.
That is the one you sent me, yes.
It's when your daughter likes dancing too, right?
Well, no, my daughters were dancing. The little video clip I sent you, she was one of them was dancing to, was it East of Sudan? Is that the name of it?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
And these
are all when they had the drum machine, and they were actually better. Although, you know, live, you kind of, drummer makes it more interesting. But, all right, here's Ghost. A little bit of Ghost. It's too quiet.
No. Right. No, it wasn't. All things to drag out for so long. Before somebody breaks up in the dark. And next time around might take too long before somebody wakes up in the dark.
The only airplay this band's ever gotten. You know, like commercial airplane.
Trippy.
Alright, yeah. So, you kind of get the feeling. They're kind of groovy, kind of like death rocky, new wavy, I don't know, Satan disco. I don't know. What do you call them?
Well, no, that's what you, when you sent it to me originally, like you said you don't really know how to describe them. And I said, when I listened to a couple of their songs, I responded back by saying, yeah, I really don't know how to describe them either, but I kind of dig so. Like that song, I kind of got into it. And it was funny watching my daughters, although, who was that? I think it was my daughter, Harley. And she when she called to her sister, she referred to it as spooky music. She's like, Daddy's got this cool spooky music on right now.
They actually have a song called Spooky Room, so that makes sense, but I didn't send you that, I don't think.
No, it was, like I said, I'm pretty sure it was East of Sudan, but she was doing this weird like stomp around at first, and then I liked whatever it. She ended up
well
doing.
You know, people didn't really dance that much to 9353, but she doesn't look that different dancing than a couple death rock chicks I remember seeing dance at 9353 shows, which is kind of cool.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah, you know, a drug of choice with 9353 fans was PCP, literally, because I know what that smells like when people smoke it, because I don't know, I read about it. Yeah, that's it. Allegedly. So, but yeah, like their shows smelled like PCP and hairspray, pretty much.
And hairspray.
Yeah. Veterinary tranquilizer that disassociates yourself and you think you're leaving your body. Yeah, that's the drug of choice for 9353. Although they were all heroin addicts. Yeah. Yeah. You know, one person I used to see all the time in the front row, actually sitting on the stage steps at every show, writing dark poetry in a notebook while they would play at the 930 Club, the old location, which is basically the spot where Lincoln was killed. It's the same.
Oh, yes, that's right.
Yeah, that place. Was this guy Jared, not the Subway sandwich guy, Jared, who
well, that's good, because he's known for something else these days.
Yeah. So Jared was the singer in a band called Skin Lab, which you know, a lot of people haven't heard of, but industrial music fans would definitely be aware of them. The guy who sent me the cool music that I couldn't listen to because it made my tinnitus act up recently. You know, the music that was all like white noise and clanging rhythmic metal.
Oh, yes. I remember that. Yes.
Yeah. Fans of that kind of music would know who Skin Lab is. Hmm. Yeah. So that,
yeah, not
that
my
guy
scene,
was
so.
Definitely influenced by them. I think that some of the Freedom Fiends show titles are influenced by the song and record titles of 9353.
Yes. You had mentioned that. I could see that.
Yeah. But, you know, it was so weird, though, that, like, this band was great. Hardly anyone ever saw them. I mean, they would play to 300 or 400 people in D.C., but, you know, like, I booked them in Charlottesville, Virginia, 2 hours later, and there were, like, 30 people there. And, you know, and I put on shows, like, I put on the Circle Jerks, and there were 300 people in the same club. So, you know, it wasn't my promoting. It was nobody'd heard of them.
Yeah.
So like band that no one's ever heard of except, you know, 1,000 people who lived in D.C. in 1983, you know, half of them were probably dead of drug overdoses.
Oh, man.
Like the guy resents someone giving him free press and praising him in a document, a book that'll be around for 40 or 50 years, you know. So
yeah, that is kind of
crazy.
Weird.
Craziness. Yep.
Yeah. My IP.
Intellectual property. IP. IP is what it sounds like. It is.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space. Wow.
So we're back.
I think we might be done with 9353. I mean, since they don't want to be, he'll probably get mad at me for like, talking him up and playing him on the radio and say, oh, money.
Make sure to send him a copy of this.
Yeah. I think he's 9353 at AOL.com or Yahoo. I forget which.
You made the reference before. I actually have, I think, at least two clients of mine who still have active AOL addresses that they use, that they give me to use as their contact information.
Well, are they?
And I have and received email from them at that address.
Okay, it's 9353 at Comcast.net. I'm not going to send the show, but if anyone else wants to, 9353 at Comcast.net is Bruce Merkel's email address. And he likes email. He's unemployed. He's unemployable. I mean, he'll talk to you if you write him, especially if you write him and say, Michael Dean played you on the air, and then you get mad and thank you for, he might kill the messenger for you telling him. He might get mad, but he'll probably, you know, say, oh, that fink Michael Dean played you on the radio and send him the link. He'll probably say, thanks for warning me about this. I'm contacting an attorney. But
Not a guarantee.
Yeah. But it's not really worth talking about them anymore. But people just check
move on.
Yeah.
Move on to the terms.
Yeah, I would say go buy their record and support them. But no. Watch, listen to them on YouTube. They're also not smart enough to have monetized their YouTube channel. You know, you can do that. You can get.
They do make it very difficult these days, but yeah,
they do.
They could have at any point before they started making it more difficult.
I really wish that I'd monetized that video when I had a chance. When YouTube said, "Do you want to monetize this?" and I'm like, "No,
no, that's okay.
I have a video with 500,000 views. I think it's 500,000. Let me check real quick. It's called How to Shoot a Glock Faster and More Accurately. And it's a friend of mine spending 2 minutes showing you clearly how to do that. How to shoot. All right. It has How to Shoot a Handgun Faster and More Accurately, it's called. It's got 448,556 views.
Nice.
If I'd monetize that, I could buy a couple burritos for sure. They don't give you that much.
Perfect. I do love burritos.
But that's burritos.
Yeah, I know. We gave up trying to monetize our podcast and stuff and all the stuff we were putting out for a while because it was just like so not worth it.
You have to get tens of thousands of views for it to be worth it. But the thing is, this How to Shoot a Handgun Faster More Accurately got like 350,000 of its 448,000 views in like a month, and I didn't know it. Because this was under my old email address, and I had alerts turned off, and it got passed around on gun boards, and you know, a lot of people saying it's great, it's amazing, and then like with anything on guns, then you've got like 5% of people saying this guy's wrong, and here's why, you know.
Well, that's just not necessarily guns. Anything you put out,
yeah, but especially guns.
Okay.
Guns or what is punk rock?
There you go. Yeah.
Who's real punk rock?
Or what is libertarian?
So, yeah. But, you know, so like by the time it made most of the money, it was too late to monetize it and make much. So,
yeah.
So speaking of what's not punk rock, so the Germs were punk rock. They defined punk rock to a lot of people. They were one of the first punk rock bands. God, what year were the Germs?
Well, their first. According to the biopic, I think the first time they showed them playing was 77.
Okay, 77. Yeah, like
they heard the
Sex Pistols record and wanted to start a band. So
basically,
they were probably the first West Coast U.S. punk rock band, or the first one that you know people remember that made a record.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that was said. I think that was said actually sitting there too. They were the first one to have a record, I believe.
Yeah, and they really wanted to make a record too, like because they knew because Darby Crash, the singer, the dude who was the singer, the bisexual, insane, I'll put any drugs in my vein.
Yeah,
put him on the floor.
Wait. Well, hold on. This one doesn't have a label. And that's the one he grabs.
Yeah,
somebody hands up a bunch of vials, and the only one without a label. He's like, I'll try this one.
Yeah, and that's really how he was. He definitely inspired Gigi Allen's whole life. He was inspired by Iggy Pop. But
I could see that.
He killed himself. He killed himself, and he got some girl to try to kill himself with him. I guess spoiler alert, in a biopic, I don't think there is, but yeah. So you got this girl that's a fan of his, like, hey, come over and cuddle and take heroin with me. And
well, it actually seemed to be the other way around.
Oh, she wanted to?
She said she wanted to do it while let's. Oh, he said he was going to do it by himself. He was going to do it, and she, then oh, she's like, she oh, can I come join
she
you?
She lived. She woke
well,
up
yeah,
because
he didn't give her enough. Well, he didn't give her enough because she said it. It looked like she was going to fade out. And she's like, I think I'm still alive. I don't think it worked, Darby. I
hate it when that happens. Yeah, she wakes up and.
He just ignored her and then continued to give himself his dose.
Yeah. Yeah. It's got Bijou Phillips in it too, as who is it? Terry Ryan. Oh, so it was Belinda Carlisle from The Germs that was in this band. We were wondering.
Well, see, that was because I'm looking at the Wikipedia right now, and it does say that she was in it in the first year. But in the biopic, it's funny the girl they have portraying her, Belinda Carlisle, when they interview her in the biopic, she's like, "I wasn't actually ever in the band. They said I quit, but I was never actually in it. I was too shy to be up in front of all those people." And then she gives this weird smile because, of course, she goes on to become a couple of years later, she's in the Go-Go's.
Yeah, yeah.
And then she goes That's on fun. To have a solo career. Well, like she was biopic, Debbie Gibson before Debbie Gibson.
Yeah. Biopics, you know, generally like kind of stick to the story, but make things more interesting. You know, they're written by screenwriters, not historians. So. You know, who knows what happened with that. But, you know, it could have been also like she showed up and played with them at a rehearsal, you know. I mean, there's actually a guy who, like, went up to my girlfriend. There was a guy who said to me one time at a club that he was the first bass player in Bomb. And I'm like, I'm the only bass player that's ever been in Bomb, and I've never met you, dude.
Nice.
Yeah, back in the day.
But you got to admit, what are the chances of actually running into the actual bass player from Bomb? I mean, that shtick for him probably worked a bunch of times. Because, well, I mean, you got to admit, what are the chances?
In 1988 in San Francisco, the chances were pretty high that, you know.
But there's still only one of you, Michael.
The singer in Bomb would be crashed, you know, passed out in a puddle of vomit on your living room floor.
Okay, I guess there you go.
What did you say about what, Michael? I didn't hear you.
I was starting to say that there's still only one of you, but then when you added that caveat about, you know, waking up in a puddle, I was like, okay, touche. Yeah. There you go.
Good point. There was actually a review by some, I forget her name, but now she's a famous rock writer for like big magazines, but she was the writer for like the SF Weekly back then. And she did a review of Bomb, and I remember she said, "I woke up on the couch at a party. There were people all over the room. I went into the kitchen looking for something, a beer, a gun, I'm still not sure what. standing naked in front of the refrigerator, making breakfast, was the singer, Michael Dean, from the band Bomb. It was not his house." It was pretty funny. It's true. It's a good way to start it.
Making breakfast.
Yeah. It's a good way to start a review.
Perfect. That's awesome.
Yeah. So the Germs... one of the things I misspoke the other day, I said that a germ burn, which is the how you prove you're a member of the high demand group that is Germs fans. I said it was a bowl burn. It's not a bowl burn. It's a cigarette burn on your arm. Now, that's not even the bizarre part. People are listening like, that's horrible. And I'm like, okay, it gets better. Gets worse.
Yeah, it does.
Oh, it does. True. Bowl burn. Okay, the first person to do it was Darby Crash, the singer in the Germs, and he did it to a lot of other people. Possibly
the first one he did was. It seemed like the first one he did it to was what's her name? What was the chick's name? Lorna something.
Lorna Doone.
Lorna Doone. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, the bass player. So, to have a true, authentic Germs burn, it has to be a direct line of lineage to Darby Crash. It's like a Catholic thing. Like, you know, the Catholic Church, like, is supposedly, like, descended from the 12 apostles. Well, to have a true Germs burn, it has to be from, like, someone, it has to be given to you by someone who got it from 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 Darby Crash. So, that's creepy and weird and cool, I think.
Yeah, that's kind of eccentric.
It's very Catholic. A lot of punk rockers were Catholics, you know, because, I don't know.
Interesting.
Being Catholic makes you want to shock people, I think.
I agree with that. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I was brought up Roman Catholic, yes, and I definitely felt the need to rebel very early on, so.
Yeah, you know he really was people because he specified Roman Catholic.
Yep.
Irish?
Well, yeah. I have both sides of it. Italian, both my Italian family and my Irish family were Roman Catholic. So,
yeah. The only time that Irish, Italians, and Hispanics will ever all hang out as friends is in Catholic heaven, probably.
Yep. Yeah. Well, yeah. I've always made that joke about myself. That's why I'm always angry because I'm always at odds with myself. It's, you know, my two sides fighting.
Yeah. Well, I'm English and Irish, so I'm always at war.
Yeah. So there you go. Same thing.
Yep. Although I was brought up Episcopal, which is Catholicism light, half the guilt.
Half the guilt. Yeah. Lots of guilt.
Yeah, so the germs. So we're going to recommend, we'll talk about this more at another show. We'll talk about some now, but everyone should watch the movie. It's on YouTube. It's called What We Do Is Secret.
Yes.
And it's this biopic about the germs starring Shane West, who looks a lot like you, Jeremy, as Darby Crash. He could play you in your biopic. He looks more like you. He doesn't really look like you, but he looks more like you than he looks like Darby Crash, actually.
Hmm. Yeah, I could see it. Well, the quick shot, the first shot on his IMDb. I think I went to his IMDb, but
the second shot, you look like him even more. He looks like more. There's also that page. If you look at the Shane West page on Wikipedia, for those playing the home board game version of Freedom Feeds, go down to the third picture. West performing with the Germs at Madrid in 2009, and then click on it, and then you look at it, and you're like, wow, he looks like he's playing a punk rocker in a movie. He's kind of young and fit and has a mohawk that looks like it was done by a hairstylist, the Vidal Sassoon mohawk. on the right, you've got Pat Smear, leader of Nirvana and Foo Fighters, playing guitar. On the left, you've got Lorna Doone, who is an older woman who looks kind of road hardened, put away wet. But, you know, I've seen worse. But then click on it again to see it huge and look at Don Bowles close up in that picture. He makes Lorna Doone look like an 18-year-old fashion model. He's so Frankensteinian.
Oh gosh! Wow, that's a whoa! I zoomed in way too big. Oh,
he's wearing makeup, and it's gonna.
Donnie.
The Rolling Scabs. He tried to pick up the Rolling Scabs guy's mother at a party.
And the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
Yeah. Freedom Fiends. Freedom Fiends. Scary normies since 2001. No, 2011. I've been scaring normies since 2001, at least.
I've been scaring normies my whole life.
I know. But hey, you know, somebody's got to, like, pump the gas, and, well, we do that now, actually.
Not everybody. Yeah. If you live in the, Jersey or Oregon.
Yeah. Oregon, they make you.
You're not allowed to.
We've created jobs. By having some meth head come out and bother you while you're getting gas.
Because he has the special permit to pump the gas.
Yeah. Because they give the permit to cut. Seriously, Nima said that in Oregon, when he was going through there on his way to move to Washington State, like, he had some guy pump his gas, and it was like, the guy was obviously a speed freak and really twitchy and really skinny and really pathetic and really shivering. And, like, Nima said he gave him $1 because he felt bad for him. But, like, that's who the government, like, the government thinks you're not good enough to pump your gas, so they give the permit for that to some scary guy who looks like Don Bull's grandfather.
Who makes the hires at the TSA like look like MBA grads and stuff like that?
Yeah, right? Yeah. Oh man! All right, so we're gonna play a few seconds here of "We Must Bleed" by the Germs, which is a memorable little ditty, so people can get what we're talking about. And I'm gonna put the links for the 9353 songs and this song by the Germs and the Germs, especially the Germs biopic, What We Do in Secret, which everyone should watch on YouTube.
Yes, they definitely should.
And we'll discuss maybe highly next recommend week, it. If we remember. All right, here we go. Stations by scaring them. It's all okay to play on the radio as long as you don't scare the horses. Well, that would scare the horses, I think. So. And we are on the radio in Wyoming and North Dakota. And I'm not saying, oh, that's a bunch of rural people, because, you know, I'm in Wyoming right now. I live here. It's beautiful. So the Germs. That was the majesty of the band called the Germs. They kind of had it all, and they kind of, like, not like they were rich. I mean, they had everything that later came to define what a punk band was. I mean, they had a crazy, charismatic, out-of-control singer who killed himself. They, you know, you burned yourself with a cigarette butt to prove you're a fan. It had to be a direct lineage from the singer who killed himself. They had songs about destruction and mayhem, and it sounded real. It didn't sound contrived. Like, you know, they influenced Green Day, but Green Day kind of sounds like they're trying.
Yeah, you could see, at least the way they depicted him in that, you could see the way that Billy Joe took up that look. Took up that look after him.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Again, he wasn't
raccoon eye makeup. Yeah.
Yeah, but he was again, according to that, he was an admitted fascist. So he was an interesting character, that Darby Crash guy.
Yeah, he was an amazing fascist.
Was it Jan Paul was his real name?
Didn't
I believe
he say he admired Hitler. What do you say about fascism?
He was proud to admit that he was a fascist. He just wasn't a Nazi. He wanted to be clear that he was separate from, like, he said he could appreciate Hitler as a genius, but as far as him killing all those innocent people, you know, that's, you know, I can't go with him on that.
So basically, he not only invented punk rock, he was the alt-right 30 years before the alt-right existed?
Possibly.
I mean, that's a common alt-right thing, is like, well, Hitler didn't have such bad ideas, but, you know, I'm not one of them, you know? Like it's kind of like...
Don't kill the innocents.
Only kill the ones that deserve... Yeah, like, I think the alt-right would all like to, like...
Kill the guilty Jews, not the innocent Jews.
Sit at a table and interview people for 1 minute and decide whether they live or die. Yeah.
You know, but... In fairness, they have to try.
They have to try what?
Just do, you know, even them doing that is a lot for them. So, at least you know, giving a question or two. But yeah, I get what you mean.
Yeah. Huh. What? Okay.
Forget it.
This is the Freedom Fiends. We are clear and concise in our definitions, and we'll be back tomorrow night with Jeremy and I, with a co-host from Matt. From Punk Rock Libertarians.
Yes.
That's really nice. Warm.